I went to the doctor and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle and you're losing the fight. To the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor. Oh, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor and the doctor said, sir, we got back the x-ray. Everything's a blur. But it's all positive, that's what every single test shows. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, kid, it was something that you ate or drank, and something that you did, and it's all in your head. It's spreading on down to your toes. All right, let's spread it around a little bit now.
Hello, you're listening to Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. I'm a family physician here in Chico, California, and we do the Ray Logger running the controls, and I do the Doctor's Inn the third Thursday of every month from 6 to 7 in the evening. And I like to put forth issues of health and medical concern, and I'm open to your requests as listeners for subjects. So please, if you have something you would like me to cover, please email me at klogan.md@yahoo.com. I want you to know that the opinions voiced on this program are not necessarily the opinions of KZFR supporters, staff, underwriters, or anyone else. They're the opinions of me and my guests. I said the word underwriters, and let me talk a little bit more about that. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by you, the generous contributions from you, the KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And we're also underwritten by Chico Downtown Business Association, supporting downtown Chico for over 40 years. The Chico Downtown Business Association brings you the Thursday night markets that's going on right now, the Friday night concert series, a taste of Chico, the Christmas preview and tree lighting, Treat Street, and more. For a full schedule of what's happening downtown, visit downtownchico.com. Help keep Chico vibrant by shopping local and coming downtown. Today's show is a tad bit exciting from my standpoint. We are going to be discussing with a guest named Robert Gould, MD, or Dr. Gould from San Francisco. We're going to be doing phone contact with him. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Dr. Gould in a few minutes. But specifically today, I want you to know right off the bat that he is president of the Bay Area chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility. Key words there. I'm going to say it again. Physicians for Social Responsibility, or PSR. That's a national organization. Maybe international. We'll have to ask him. And specifically, we're going to be zeroing in, at least partially and specifically, about what we as a country, you and me, the United States, what happens in the world every day on an ongoing basis relative to the health care of human beings. Human beings throughout the world and Americans throughout the world. And we as physicians have an opinion about that. And we as medical professionals have a role in preventing such healthcare problems that we're going to talk about. And you better be sitting down, because some of the things, the breadth of what we do healthcare-wise to people throughout the country, throughout the world, and to Americans throughout the world, will take your breath away. Took my breath away. Before we do that, I want to do a couple things. Before we get to Dr. Gould, and before I go through my introduction about Dr. Gould, I wanted to say a couple things. First of all, I just want to make not an announcement, but let you know that there is such a thing as a diabetes camp here in Northern California for children in Northern California or elsewhere who have type 1 diabetes. And it's 1 week each summer. And we just had that about 3 weeks ago up at Lake McCumber off of Highway 44 near Mount Lassen. And I just want you to know, if you know of someone in your family or loved one or acquaintance, et cetera, that has a child that has type 1 diabetes and may be interested, you can contact me about that for next year. It doesn't hurt to get the information as soon as you can. By the way, we had 71 children with type 1 diabetes, ages 8 to 17. It was a great year. Anyway, contact me if you have questions about it. klogan.md@yahoo.com. Now, the other thing I want to talk about briefly, I don't want to dig into the time that we're going to have with Dr. Gould too much, but I do want to say a couple things about heat exposure, because I don't know if any of you listeners have noticed, but it's hot out there. It's summer. So I got a little information off a website from the U.S. Department of Labor, the OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration site. But there's some common sense things that I just want to reiterate and say to you, the listener, so all of us know. First of all, the heat, the people that I as a family physician care about or am concerned about the most relative to heat exposure problems are people who may not be able to control their lives as well as you and I. I should just speak to me, as well as I can, such as the elderly. People, as they age, can tolerate heat problems less well, number one. Number two, they may not have, depending on their level of brain function, there are many, many people with decreased brain function as we age, and there are other people with decreased brain function for a variety of reasons. And you as family members, friends, caregivers, et cetera, need to take note of the fact, need to be responsible relative to heat exposure prevention. I want to say a couple things. There's something called heat exhaustion, when somebody can have a lot of heavy sweating, headache, nausea, dizziness, weakness, irritability, and thirstiness. Well, that and I'm gonna fatigue is part of that, and that is a sign that they need coolness, they need to be shade, they need to be out of the sun, they need fluids, and they need you fan them, wet them down with fluids, water. And prevention is the key here. So fluid intake, you got to drink extra water in this heat. You need to stay out of the outdoors when it's hot, like the middle of the day. You certainly should not be, any of us should certainly not be doing extra work during this time of the day when it's hot. Use your brains for common sense. I want to say one brief thing about heat stroke. That's a big deal. That's an emergency. And that's if someone gets to a point of heat exposure to where they get this, hear this, they stop sweating. They're confused. They're dopey. You know, their level of consciousness is way down. They may have seizures. And they're not sweating. So if you come upon someone in that kind of scenario, well, you would be calling 911, I hope. Because you and I don't know what's going on with them. But I want you to know prevention is key here. Stay cool. Stay indoors. Drink lots of fluids. Don't hesitate to use fluid on water on yourself to help you cool periodically. And keep track of your elderly and those and young children and people who you may care for who or are responsible for who may have developmental disability or other brain function problems. I said the word prevention and relative to heat exposure. Now I'm going to shift gears. And part of the reason I'm going to be speaking with Dr. Gould from San Francisco, he's president of the Bay Area chapter of the Physicians for Social Responsibility, PSR. He is also associate adjunct professor at UC San Francisco School of Medicine. He's also a member of the Peace Caucus of the American Public Health Association. He's also a member of the Environmental Committee of the Santa Clara County chapter of the California Medical Association. In reading his bio, he's had a number of awards. I only gave the brief version of his bio. He's a remarkable man. And we're hopefully going to be getting him on the line in San Francisco soon. I want to say one thing real quickly about that. I said the word prevention. One of the things I want to say is we are physicians. Dr. Gould and I are physicians. A lot of what we as physicians do, as physicians, all of us physicians do, is prevent problems. We know medical conditions can occur, so we want to prevent them. We know how to prevent them. And so this discussion today about health consequences of warringness and militariness by you and me, our country, and we let it happen. Prevention is what we physicians, that you're going to hear from in a few minutes, are going to speak about. And I want you to know that we're going to take a music break. And then we're going to... we're going to take a music break. Momentarily, Dr. Gould is calling us on another line, so we're going to get him on the line momentarily. Okay. Okay, very good. Okay, so we're going to take a brief music break right now. Please stay tuned. You're going to want to hear Dr. Gould, Robert Gould from San Francisco PSR, Physicians for Social Responsibility. Music break.
I was
is on the other side of no tomorrow. You walked in and my life began again. Just when I'd spent the last piaster I could borrow. All night long we would sing that stupid song, and every word we sang I knew was true. Are you with me, Dr. Wu? Are you really just a shadow?
From San Francisco, he's president of the San Francisco or Bay Area branch of Physicians for Social Responsibility, or PSR. Dr. Gould, how are you there?
I am. I'm not hearing you as well as I was the guy in the studio. If you could speak up a little bit. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, we can hear you okay.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
A little better, yes. Thank
you. How about now?
Perfect.
Okay, great. Hey, I'm gonna say a couple more things about you, just if you're okay with that.
Sure.
I'm gonna reiterate the fact your bio is impressive. I'm it's a pleasure for me to meet you, although I've not met you in person. But anyway, you're president of the San Francisco or Bay Area branch of the Physicians for Social Responsibility. You are an associate adjunct professor at UC San Francisco School of Medicine. You're a member of the Peace Caucus of the American Public Health Association. And you are a member of the Environmental Committee of the Santa Clara County Chapter of the California Medical Association. And you're here today as my guest. Thank you very much for being on the air with me. For you and me to discuss, I want to hear from you about the United what is happening in the world relative to health consequences, possibilities, and ongoing health consequences-ness from U.S. military activity around the world. That's one of the things, and I want to hear from you about for the listeners to hear also about Physicians for Social Responsibility, etc. So, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Okay.
So, before we start, could you tell us? I know I gave you a little introduction there, but can you give us a little brief? You tell me about yourself. Who are you? Why should we listen to you?
Okay, well, I was born in the Bronx, if that has any entree at all.
Ah, Ray Lager, the engineer here, will love that.
At any rate, so, as your little report of my CV indicates, I've been working for many years primarily with Physicians for Social Responsibility for well over three decades, both on our national board and locally in the San Francisco Bay Area. Our organization started over 60 years ago, essentially concerned with issues of nuclear weapons and the dangers of nuclear war, which is still a central part of our work, although in the 1990s and on, we increasingly took on, as part of our core work, environmental health issues that obviously impact us here in the United States and those around the world, and that includes issues such as global warming, toxic degradation of the environment, And, you know, we recognize we're, as an organization, one part of a large movement, and we try to work or focus, I would say, on our ability to reach those within the health professionals, like people like you, in the sense of understanding that the work that we do is physicians and other health professionals, and I could certainly speak personally, you give your all in terms of trying to deal with the public health issues that impact people, the real medical problems. But we have significant issues that we recognize we have to deal with that are major threats to the survival of human beings and all other species. So, you know, that ranges from the ever-present dangers of nuclear war and our concerns about now being engaged in the new nuclear arms race, which actually commenced with the Obama administration, getting even more kicked into gear under Trump. And, of course, very much highlighted by the this particular administration, and I can certainly speak personally for those of us in PSR and other organizations who've seen some resonance for our work in terms of protecting the environment. But now that's all been kicked in the teeth, basically, by this administration, looking at what the record already had been with Scott Pruitt at EPA and his successor, Andrew Wheeler. So we're very concerned about these dangers. It's certainly something I've personally been concerned about. And, you know, I got two grandchildren, grandsons who are 8 and 13, and I worry about the world that they're growing up in and whether there'll be something for them.
Of course.
It's not just my grandchildren, but all of our children and grandchildren, those who, you know, will succeed us on the earth. So that's sort of the crux of what we've been doing and where
it's
our
difficult.
Mission and goals are.
It's difficult to just sit back and watch, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, one thing we could be gratified by, I would say, is, you know, looking back on, you know, over 40 years as a physician, is that the younger generation of physicians, medical students, and other health professionals, for example, those we see at UCSF, come into this, into their training, I think, with a lot more sophistication and openness about these issues than we had back then. So, you know, just in terms of the work we're doing in our program, the program on reproductive health and the environment at UCSS represents that in terms of being able to talk about these issues and actually infuse the curriculum for the next generation of health professionals, that this is very much on target for what they have to be thinking of in terms of their work, their career, their contributions to society.
And I think that I, as a physician, think that's a very big step, working with those medical students early on, educating them relative to these subjects, environmental, et cetera. I'm going to just say this. Thank you very much for doing that down there. Wow.
What else can we do existentially if we're thinking about these things, right?
Yeah. You're taking action. You are taking action, and I appreciate that. We all do. I know with respect to... I think I'm going to jump to an issue that, again, you and I talked about briefly on the phone, and you sent me an article that gave me, that enlightened me with some of this information relative to the United States, the actions of the United States around the world, relative to I don't know how to put it, warring, militariness. And the and therefore responsible United States for the consequences of that. And I know that's part of your concern, my concern, and we not only via PSR, Physicians for Social Responsibility, but also as physicians. Prevention. Well, you know, you and I may think we can help somebody who's starved or hasn't had clean drinking water and has cholera or has been injured in some kind of war activity. Yeah, we know. We were trained how to do that kind of stuff to a degree, one way or another. But prevention, prevention is what we know about as well. And especially you and your work you do in environmental medicine, et cetera, prevention is a big deal, yes?
Yeah, well, I mean, if we're looking at, you know, it's remarkable. You referenced the fact that, you know, I work, a chairperson of the Peace Caucus of the American Public Health Association, and the APHA has recognized over the 30 years that we've been there the significant issues of global militarism have developed policies that represent the considered opinion of the public health community in our country in opposition to this because of the recognition of the incredible damage that this does both directly and indirectly. I mean, we have a complex world. I guess one way of looking at this, I work also with the International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, mm-hmm. and we had a World Congress in York, England last year, and one of the people who spoke to us, Paul Rogers, who's with the Oxford Research Group, mm-hmm. Basically, I thought that a really elegant way of laying out the problems that he explores in his book, Regular War, which gets at the issue of, what the global toll of militarism in terms of the variety of wars that are going on mm-hmm. around the world. And like you mentioned, we have a great deal of responsibility. One of the reports that I had sent you, which is a mm-hmm. collaboration between our organization and the German affiliate of the International Physicians Prevention Nuclear War's Body Count, and the international edition, which we partnered with for circulation in the United States, graphically illustrates, the severe undercounting of what we have wrought in the wars, quote-unquote wars on terror alone.
The undercounting, I like that. That rings in my ears as I see that. You know, what we as the public hear and see is a pittance compared to what has occurred in these militarism areas of militarism across the country across the world that the United States has been involved in. What we hear about are the number of deaths, for instance. Well. You know, what about there's a massive number of health consequences, both physical from military action, but the consequences of everything, water, farmland, other commerce, it's just on and in depth, and we don't hear about that.
No, I mean, I was very fortunate to have worked. My mentor at medical school passed away this year, Dr. Victor Seidel, who's a past president of the American Public Health Association. And he and Barry Levy, another friend and past president of APHA, have collaborated on a number of books on Oxford University Press, War and Public Health, Terrorism and Public Health. It very graphically takes the reader through uh-huh. all of these issues that you're raising in terms of, what Body Count, the thing I referenced earlier, indicated, yeah. we're not even getting the full measure of the deaths and wounded.
Yeah.
This is an undercounting that goes, in my own, lifetime, back to our understanding of the Vietnam War. We focus, if we do, and appropriately in terms of the toll at some level on the 58,000 mm-hmm. American soldiers who died. But mm-hmm. we're not talking we never hear about what has really been estimated anywhere from 2 to 3 million civilians and
yes.
and soldiers who died throughout Indochina.
Yes.
That's a perfect example. It's a case study in terms of what the destruction of war represents for untold generations. Agent Orange being used, napalm, other varieties of defoliants. I mean, we know the incredible destruction, the wounded that we've left, the absolute destruction of societies. And unfortunately, our global reach in terms of military incursions has only, you know, been increasing markedly. And it's,
yes,
you know, the distancing that we have as a society from the massive toll, whether it's ecocide or genocide in our name around the world, or the arms that we transfer to brutal dictatorships who oppress their people, is absolutely immense and has only grown. Now we're, you know, the distance of not having, let's say, a draft and having tens of thousands of U.S. troops experience war directly, which led to obviously the significant pushback of the anti-war movement under Vietnam, gets, you know, buffered for people if it's a relatively small amount of troops. And we're now more moving into commando operations under special forces, or we're, of course, making a major shift into drone warfare with all the sequelae. From that, I would refer the listener, for example, to the great work that Nick Turse, T-U-R-S-E, has done with a number of reports and books. Just the other day, he had an article, Commandos Sans Frontiers, the Global Growth of U.S. Special Operations Forces, whereby we now have commandos in 75% of the countries around the world. We're talking about special operations in Africa, you know, throughout the Middle East, et cetera.
Say that again. Well, make that statement again. I have that article sitting right in front of me because you kindly emailed them to me. And make that statement again. We have
U.S. commandos deployed to 149 countries, which is about
149 countries. Sorry.
75% of the nations on the planet.
I just am astounded by that. That's something that I didn't, you know, who would have known? Who would have, I would have
thought. Well, it's all done in secret in our quote-unquote name. But and of course, these are special forces operations within the American military.
Right.
We are not talking about the black operations of within this, which is more and more of this stuff is being farmed out to mercenaries along the likes of Eric Prince, used to be Blackwater. I don't remember what name it's morphed into from Z to whatever else. But this is the nature of warfare, and also increasingly shifting to artificial intelligence and robotics, you know, which will carry it out in the future. This is a very dread scenario where more and more money is going into, you know, there's truth to the calling it the military-industrial complex, as much as that has a ring to it, and this is destroying much of you know, just real lives all around the world. And the other thing that we need to consider, I would say, is, you know, this is one, you know, in terms of thinking about our work in PSR and the integration of dealing with the threats, we face incredible dangers of nuclear proliferation and certainly unfolding climate change. Yet we as a nation, in terms of the, you know, not only the mortality and morbidity of direct military actions, but we as a world are facing an enormous threat from global warming.
Yes.
And at the same time that this is going on, instead of really dealing with it, we're doing these arms deals, like $110 billion of arms deals to Saudi Arabia, to continue to pump fossil fuels that have this completely dangerous petrodollar for arms sales circuit that's a major engine of our economy that's, you know, I don't know what to say. Unless we bring an end to that, we're really going to be doomed. I don't mean to be like this doomsayer type of guy. I think we need to fight against this. We have to be very clear what the implications of our policies are.
Exactly, and we need to not ignore. We need to look reality straight in the eye, and we need to vote, by the way.
Yeah.
And Congress, you know, our Congress people need to work for us, not for the military industrial complex or the fossil fuel industry, etc., but for us and for the people of the world. Yeah, and And again, I totally hear. I the reality is these are baffling kind of bits of information. You know, I mean, it's like it's almost overwhelming in magnitude to me relative to what is happening environmentally, global warmingly, militarily by us across the world. It's overwhelming, but. The first step is knowledge by us, the people, and you and me talking about it, and others, and making sure that we vote in November, and we vote 2 years from now, and we hold our Congress people and other elected officials feet to the fire relative to these issues. Yeah, we need to vote. Hey,
I'm not speaking for PSR here, but just noting that particularly younger candidates, and I underscore the import of people like Ms. Ocasio-Cortez in New York, actually, representing the borough I grew up in.
Oh.
And what her, what that represents.
In terms
of saying in a country like the United States, and of course, we're still talking about the United States, we have so much wealth here that it's absolutely ridiculous that everybody can't have a guaranteed income that they could survive on, that anybody should go hungry in our own country, and that, people shouldn't have health care. Thinking about anywhere from 20 to 30 million people without health care.
Right.
Even with the dysfunctional nature of Obamacare.
Right.
I mean, we could do a lot better, and yet we're facing the situation in our country that I'm sure is obvious to most people listening to this show, of the incredible increase rip-off of people that's represented by the recent tax bill and the increased polarization between the very rich and the rest of us, and the fact that people in the United States, particularly working people who no longer have unions for the most part, that can fight for their rights, and under even greater attack from the recent Supreme Court ruling, people turn to they're manipulated to the extent of, it's classic, it happened in Germany after World War I, to blame the other for their problem. And the constant grinding out of
scapegoating
and the ilk destroy what should be a very clear idea of, where the money is going, who's waging the wars, who's suffering from these things. And again, I was even just talking about the United States, let alone the situation around the world, where we're now expecting to have, tens of millions of refugees because of global warming, where we could look at the incredible brutality of the war in Syria from our role and our allies and the role of Russia and the Syrian government. I mean, a lot of those issues have been related to unfolding climate change that we're not dealing with as well, in terms of the issues of drought in Syria.
Yeah.
And when people don't have food to grow, and things get explosive. And, we're expecting, and even our military is predicting that we're going to see more and more of those situations. The unfortunate thing is what they see, and they go into their planning, is to have more military budgets, more special forces to suppress those things from happening, as opposed to what we need to do as a planet, what we need to do as a civilization, is to really being able to address those fundamental global health issues on the climate front, on ending militarism, and being able to provide the jobs and the sort of, more equal share of the world's resources, so people can have a stake to build something and not be fighting among ourselves for the crumbs of things. And I don't mean to sound rhetorical that way, but I do think that we need to have an integrated approach on all of these issues so people have a stake.
Absolutely. And who wouldn't? I can't imagine anyone not thinking that
what you have said over the last couple minutes, the few minutes there, that is common sense. What you have said, you didn't say anything that is not common sense. It's who could disagree with that?
For people who run our country.
I know. That's what bothers me. But I'm just saying, well said. Hey, shall we take... why don't we take a... are you okay if we take a little bitty music break?
That's fine. Actually, if I could just take a little personal break from myself for just 20 seconds, and I'll be back on the phone after that if that works for you.
You betcha.
Okay.
Listening to KZFR 90.1 Radio, Chico, California, Community Radio. This is Dr. Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. And today we're speaking with Dr. Robert Gould from San Francisco by phone. He is president of the Bay Area San Francisco branch of Physicians for Social Responsibility and an associate adjunct professor at UC SF School of Medicine. Dr. Gould, are you with us?
I am indeed.
Excellent. So we left off, what did we do? We left off with the situation in the world and what we, the people, can do about that relative to voting here in the United States. I just love to hear you speak, and I want to hear you speak more. Before I do, I think it would be important, as you can imagine, for us to let the listeners know relative to places where they can stay informed, how they can get information about what's happening in the world, specifically at the hands of the United States, militarism, and the health consequences of that, and all consequences of that. The environmental changes and that are happening throughout the world and the consequences of that throughout the world, etc. Can you give us some places or ways that our listeners can stay informed?
Sure. I would obviously start with Physicians for Social Responsibility as a good source for issues, certainly regarding health consequences of nuclear war or threatened nuclear war. So that would be www.psr.org. And for certainly folks in California, I would love to be in touch. You know, we have folks, you know, going around the state, and if there's interest in even having local talks, I would be motivated, and others, like we go up to Humboldt as well, in terms of the San Francisco Bay Area chapter. So that's www.sfbaypsr.org.
So to say that again, so to communication with you, say that again.
So for me and the local chapter,
and the local chapter.
To get connected with stuff we're doing in California, it was www.sfbaypsr, so sfbaypsr.org.
Okay, sfbaypsr.org. Mm-hmm. Great, excellent.
And, you know, if people get in touch, I could also, you know, if they're interested in the environmental health work that sort of spans the work of our chapter, but that we're involved with, that I referenced earlier in terms of engaging medical students, nursing students at UCSF, I could also, anybody gets in touch with me there, I could provide them links with that. And, you know, we have an active speakers bureau.
Excellent.
You know, we're also working right now on, you know, we're getting it going in California as we are around the country, work that follows on as part of the international campaign to abolish nuclear weapons, which is was initiated by the International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, which itself, we're the U.S. affiliate of that. Won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1985, and ICANN won the Nobel Peace Prize last year for the work that culminated in a treaty to ban nuclear weapons that was voted in favor for by 122 countries around the world. And we're trying to follow that victory with a nationwide campaign to be able to get city councils, other municipalities to follow what has basically been an endorsement coming out of issues like this from the U.S. Council of Mayors to pass resolutions in various municipalities, et cetera, to oppose a nuclear arms race and to support banning nuclear weapons. So if there is interest among people, whether it be Chico or surrounding city councils and stuff like that, I'd be interested in talking to people about getting something like that going. We had a resolution towards that effect that we partnered with Plowshares Fund and students working with the organization Back from the Bomb to get the San Francisco Board of Supervisors to pass a resolution along these lines as well. So that's something that's very practical. I mean, it's a question of building a movement and building, you know, getting public opinion to speak out on these weapons, which, you know, if we're looking at direct and indirect costs, you know, we're now spending, we're slated to spend over the next 30 years, $1.4 or so trillion dollars to develop new ways to destroy the planet with new generation of nuclear weapons. And that's not chump change.
Can you say that one more? Can you make that statement again?
$4 billion every hour for the next 30 years. And if you think about how our communities are going without libraries,
right,
people going hungry, not having health care, I mean, I could go through the list of things that are unmet needs in our own society, let alone what we're talking about global health needs. That's something that really has to be stopped.
Oh, misguided.
What that represents.
Misguided spending by those in power in our politics. Yes, absolutely. Wow. And I will let the listeners know that if they haven't picked it up already in listening to you on the air, you are an energizing person. You are someone who I you're easy to talk to. You are engaging, and I too encourage listeners with questions or from a standpoint of issues that we've discussed today, but also relative to any listeners outside the area, relative to connecting with the Physicians for Social Responsibility, maybe creating a local chapter, maybe, like you said, getting involved relative to local politicians, even city council people, et cetera, relative to denuclearization of our planet, impetus, and other issues the PSR stands for, that you are a very good NIDUS, or a very good source of information and guidance. And I would like you, if you don't mind, to say the site again for them on the internet.
Sure.
Relative to your organization in the Bay Area.
Yeah. So for the San Francisco Bay Area chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility, that's www.sfbaypsr, so all one word, sfbaypsr.org. And from there, you can be in touch with us, and I'll be back to anybody who's interested in this. Obviously, our work is with communities in general. While I do mention that we're particularly interested because we're primarily, or by our definition, an organization of committed health professionals working on these issues, so we could get those health issues out and make those clear, because and get beyond the noise of, these are just political issues. We're very much oriented to supplying good information on what the health impacts are at every level, globally, locally, et cetera. So
great.
We would love to work with any of you, and if there are any health professionals and anyone else as well, we'd love to be in touch. I mean, we've had, honestly, we're an old organization, and a lot of people who were active in the 1980s were, they had to, it's very busy in the medical field to do your work there and have time. I mean, just particularly the way our healthcare system is. But we had such an incredible outpouring of people who'd been connected with us but wanted to do something.
Great.
In the wake of the elections of 2016.
Yeah.
So we just have a real growth, not just only, older members who went through their careers, but a lot of younger folks who really similarly, this is their time.
I challenge listeners.
Unless younger people are going to step up. So we're really committed to trying to do our best at such times.
Good. I challenge listeners to speak with their healthcare providers, both physicians and nurse practitioners, physician assistants, encouraging them to get involved. It only takes 30 seconds or less to talk with your healthcare provider about PSR, getting involved with PSR, Physicians for Social Responsibility. I challenge everyone listening to this show right now to do that. Dr. Gould, just to let you know, another thing that is available, speaking of information for people to stay informed relative to some of the issues we've been talking about today, here on our community, this station, KZFR 90.1 FM, we're a community-based radio station, and so information, some of the unbiased news is something that's part of what we do, presenting that is something that happens here at this station, but also specifically that listeners can get information ongoing is via this radio station, specifically, for instance, Democracy Now. I will tell you, I listen to that every morning that I have the ability, if I'm not working, on KZFR. It's 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock every weekday, Monday through Friday, here on KZFR. And, of course, you can get it on public radio. Public television as well, online. Do you? And, I encourage listeners to listen to that program. And you can actually get it on your email. I get it on my email as well. So and you can do that, so you can read it at your own pace.
No, it's an incredible resource for us to demystify the nonsense that otherwise
yes.
comes out and to actually have good, cogent analysis that
yes.
could sink their teeth into.
Demystify the, what did you say, the chaos? The demystify what we hear, exactly. I wanted to know, I noticed that you're also a member of the Peace Caucus of the American Public Health Association. And I just wanted to hear, can you tell me a little bit about that? I know we only got a couple of minutes left, but the reason I ask is the words in there, Public Health Association, the Peace Caucus for the American Public Health Association. I've never heard of it, and I just think it just sounds like a great organization.
Well, it's a component of the American Public Health Association, which is the largest public health association, I believe, in the world.
Uh-huh.
And so we're mostly operating, if you will, as a caucus at the time of the annual meeting. Like, so for example, this upcoming annual meeting will be in San Diego. Uh-huh. And usually about 10 to 12,000 health professionals attend. So we've worked for about 30 years since the founding of the caucus. Actually, you know, our caucus was founded back in the mid-1980s, where we had an incredible event at a time when, you know, during the 80s, when there were massive demonstrations around the country against President Reagan's nuclear weapons policy. Mm. And at a time when we had our annual meeting in Las Vegas, 400... leading public health professionals, including the president of APHA, went to a demonstration at the Nevada test site, which
was
30, 40 miles away, to demonstrate against nuclear testing, and about 140 of us did nonviolent civil disobedience.
Wow, good.
And that led to a series of protests, over the next 5 or 6 years, that finally did culminate in our own country and then Soviet Union to declare a moratorium on nuclear testing, although we've never passed the nuclear test ban. But that actually started off the work of the Peace Caucus, and over the years we've engaged the public health community on issues like nuclear testing, like the health consequences of the military budget. All the various things that we've been covering here really have been adopted by the largest and oldest public health profession. So that's been the nature of the work, in terms of working on policy to get the voice of the public health community, and as well to present educational sessions. So we're very happy that this year we're actually going to have, on Veterans Day in San Diego, as part of a tribute to my mentor, I mentioned before, Dr. Yeah. Victor Seidel.
Right.
Dan Ellsberg will be the keynoter. Hope to draw hundreds of people in San Diego to talk about his work from the Doomsday Machine and Dan's always eloquent voice on the need to abolish nuclear weapons.
Excellent.
And, you know, I'd also mention in that regard, I mean, I might be getting off subject, but Dan will also be the key speaker at the Hiroshima Day rally on August 6th at the Livermore Lab, our premier California lab. It's still building nuclear weapons as part of this modernization project. And we in the San Francisco Bay Area chapter of PSR work together with many other local organizations, Western State Legal Foundation, who are basically the grassroots organization around the Livermore Lab, Western States Legal Foundation, and we'll be having our annual protest. And as like I said, Dan Ellsberg, always eloquent at 87 and on target.
As oh, wow, 87.
We're exploring all the details of this stuff that's in his book, and which followed on, of course, very famous work as part of the divulging the Pentagon Papers, where he was at the time called the most dangerous man in America.
Right. Dr. Gould, thank you so much for talking with us, and hopefully in the future I will bring you back. You're president of the San Francisco branch of the Physicians for Social Responsibility. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's really been a delight being on the show, and really appreciate having the time and all the great work you're doing with public radio. Mm-hmm. Having a real alternative for people in the church.
Thank you. You keep up the good work, too. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
And listeners, stay tuned for Beatle Nation. Coming up.
That's it, you're done?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, this is Ken Logan, the Doctor's Inn. See me again, or listen again, the third Thursday of the month, 6 to 7 in the evening. That was Dr. Gould from San Francisco PSR. Beatle Nation coming on right now.
And I don't need no doctor, because I know what's ailing me. I don't need no doctor, because I know.